All right. The time is 1:34 Central Time on July 18th, 2023, and I am convening this video conference and telephone conference meeting of the Assessment Investment Committee of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association. The meeting is being conducted pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act and the Association's antitrust policy. All information disclosed or discussed is to be used only for carrying out the business of the association. Proper notice of the meeting was filed on July 7, 2023 and published in the Texas Register in accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Act. A copy of the notice should be attached to the summary of official minutes of this meeting. We do have a quorum as all members of the committee are present. Also in attendance, we have Board Counsel Shelby Betts, General Counsel Jackie Rickson, Executive Director Bart Bowles, and Association employees Jarrett Terry and Topping Haggerty. And from the Texas Department, we have John Walker and are expecting Brian Rewe, if he has not yet joined.
He has not yet joined.
Okay. And with that, I guess we'll just move to item one, the consent agenda.
This is Dean. I move the consent agenda.
Ted, second.
All in favor, please say aye.
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 All right. Consent agenda has been approved. Item two, Bart.
Yes, thank you, Chair Harrison. Item two is a schedule of our cash flow projections for active insolvency. So in this is a format we've adopted in the last, I think it was the last meeting we started using this. But let me just point out, these are active insolvencies where you have obligations that we're currently running off. And if you look at the ones with asterisks in the left-hand column, these are insolvencies that you have authorized to be funded or partially funded with the Lincoln Memorial Funds. And you authorized this in your January meeting. And those are Northwestern National, Calanthe Mutual, Time Insurance Company, North Carolina Mutual, Southland National. I skip Friday because Friday is not one that you're funding, you're loaning to Friday. It's just a loan. We anticipate there will be an early access distribution for Friday. We'll get all those funds back. So it's just a loan, but you can see through May, there are no funds taken there. So Jarrett, we will go through, I think later, exactly some of these monies. You'll know exactly what we spent in response to your previous directions. But we wanted you to see on these insolvencies remaining, we have a substantial amount yet to pay. Now, $14 million of that in 2023 is going to be Friday. So about $500,000 there. And if you take out the extra $1 million after 2023 for Friday, you got about $12 million. But I did put on the list that liquidation orders have been entered against Bankers Life Insurance Company and Colorado Bankers Life Insurance Company. Those orders were entered December 30th, 2022. But the orders have been appealed. And during the pendency of that appeal, we have not been activated. But you remember, these are two insolvencies where moratorium have been in place on voluntary withdrawals since June of 2019. So over 4 years now. So the annuity contract holders of these companies cannot take any voluntary withdrawals. Mandatory withdrawals are permitted. So if liquidation orders are entered after the and become effective after the resolutions are appealed, we do anticipate there will be a significant number of surrenders and we'll pay out a lot of money. We have covered cash surrender obligations for Texas residents in these two companies of almost $128 million. So questions on the cash flow projections? Or Jarrett, anything you want to add?
Just to say the one thing about Friday, the benefits, no, we have not paid any of those from Lincoln Memorial monies yet. But we have had a small amount of expenses that were paid from those Lincoln Memorial monies.
Okay, thank you. And Jim, that's all in the cash flow. Oh, you're muted.
Sorry, too many screens up on my computer here. Let's move to the item three.
Okay. Is this where we're going to update you on exactly what we've done to carry out the directions that you recommended and the board adopted? And these were through two different, actually three meetings. We began the discussion of this in the January 22 with a committee meeting and a board meeting, just talk about how and your options for using these Lincoln Memorial Service funds. You asked us to do some additional research. We brought that back to you in July. And to July 12th meeting, 2022, you made some recommendations. The board adopted it them in July 26th of 2022. And let me just walk through instruction by instruction and what we've done. First, you ask us to clear out the remaining premium tax offsets for member companies related to Lincoln Memorial Service. And in doing that, Jarrett contacted the comptroller, found out there's only 63 companies with a little over $500,000 of premium tax offsets remaining. And I think that was from four different insolvencies, about $114 million we had assessed. So Jarrett prepared and distributed checks for that $505,000 to 63 companies. It took several efforts and some reissuance of checks because we did not get them all negotiated. We finally got down to five checks were never negotiated after repeated attempts to pay them in phone calls and emails. So $3,741.09 have been escheated for those five companies. The comptroller has been advised of these refunds that have been paid. So any remaining premium tax offsets because of the Lincoln Memorial Service assessments have now been eliminated. So that is gone. Number two, you ask us to pay the 2021 administrative expense shortfall and the 2022 administrative expenses from the Lincoln Memorial funds. You could see that was $1.211 million for 2021 and $1.19 million for 2022. Then you ask us any funds for Lincoln Memorial Service that were maturing to reinvest them to mature in September 2023. I have some numbers for you a little bit later. I'll report on that, but we have been doing those reinvestments. And then you ask that we monitor the collection of the remaining litigation proceeds and what we could do about those. And there are illiquid assets. There's liquid assets, about $414,000. Then there's some illiquid assets that are really streams of recoveries into the future for that were received or as part of the recoveries from litigation. We've been working on those. I'll report a little bit more of it later, but we are still working on that. Moving ahead to your last meeting, January 2023, your recommendations that were adopted by the board of directors. And there's a typo in there. On January 24th, the board approved these actions to fund the approximate and what we thought would be about $2 million of 2023 admin expenses from the Lincoln Memorial Service funds. That's in lieu of doing a Class A assessment. Through May, we've had expenses of $628,583, and we've paid those. Then the second instruction is to pay the internal borrowings, administration expenses, and contractual obligations that are due and payable in 2023 for insolvencies that don't have sufficient liquid assets. We thought that would be about $1 million. Through May, it's been $732,985. And you can see the list of insolvencies there. And then instruction three, to reinvest the maturing in investments of Lincoln Memorial Service funds to treasuries with September 30th, 2023 maturity dates. Before you gave us the instructions, we had already invested some of the Lincoln funds to mature in September of 2024, and March of 2024. but there is a substantial amount maturing September 30th, 2023. Jarrett, it's 30 what million, roughly?
Roughly 37 million.
So 37 million maturing September 30th, 2023, and another, you know, 3 million or so maturing in 2024. And then the last thing is you authorized me to negotiate and execute documents to implement a settlement of those remaining recoveries on the illiquid assets. A tentative settlement's been reached where the Missouri and Texas Guarantee Association would purchase the interest of the receiver and the Riley law firm in those illiquid assets, because these are assets that flow through the joint prosecution agreement. So under the agreement, we buy out their interest, and those interests are then allocated between the Missouri and Texas Guarantee Associations. So under the joint prosecution agreement, only guarantee associations will be sharing in future proceeds. And those recoveries could go on into the future. So this has been fully negotiated. It's been discussed. It just has not been finalized. And we have about $400,000 in recovery sitting at NOLGA. Before we ask that to be distributed, we will use a portion of those funds to execute this, what I'll call a buyout settlement. So it's still in process, but it doesn't involve that much money. And here you see a summary of where we are today. Jarrett, do you want to describe that?
Yeah, so this is where we're sitting currently as of 5/31 for the Lincoln Memorial Service. We have the assessment collections and the premiums and recoveries and litigation recoveries, less the expenses and benefits. And then the payment of these admin expenses that is the sum of all the admin expenses that has been authorized by the board to be paid from the Lincoln Memorial funds. The next item is the market value adjustment and interest earnings on the treasuries for Lincoln Memorial. That will be much less once all those treasuries mature. So that gives us the total cash and investments of a little over $45 million. We have the net liquid receivables, which is the Friday funds that have been borrowed from Lincoln Memorial. It's not a very big number right now because this is as of May 31st. The Friday really kicked into gear in June. So there's our current net position, plus the estimate of the distribution. And we have our projected net position there of $45.7 million.
So what we want the committee to see is exactly where we are on funds and what we have done to carry out the instructions you recommended and the board adopted. So we have done that. We still think we have $45 million there, but if you think back what I presented a few minutes ago on cash flow, there's going to be some needs coming. And those are life insurance policy obligations in those needs. And Lincoln Memorial Service was a life insurance company insolvency. So it's truly a match between the line of business account being used. And I think before we talk about anything further in this on the options and the legal authority, we need to stop there because that should be discussed in executive session. And we have a couple of other things to introduce before we kind of put the executive session at the end. So we thought we'd give you a complete picture of everything, then let you talk about your options later.
Any questions for Bart or Jarrett on item 3? So yeah, go ahead, Bart, to item 4, illiquid assets.
Yes, this is just give you a little more detail without violating any confidentialities. Those illiquid assets I mentioned really come from three sources. There are some death claims under some American Memorial policies, and when those policies become due, there's a certain recovery from American Memorial back into the Lincoln Memorial estate that's not a lot of money. Hollywood Forever, there was a settlement with Hollywood Forever where the death claims are paid back into the estate because Hollywood Forever is responsible for these, where the receivership estate And you have to factor in some of the California coinsurance for the Guaranty Association in California. And there are some restitution payments by some of the criminal defendants. Those are only a trickle. And of course, those only go so long as those defendants live. So we have estimated the cash flow on that. We have done some discounting for collectability between the Missouri Guaranty Association and myself. We did some negotiations and I came up with a method to allocate the cost. And we have an amount, which I can't disclose because it's not been finalized, but we have an amount that we have offered and the other parties have accepted and we're prepared to fund that. So we purchased their interest to these future revenue streams or recovery streams from these illiquid assets. I was very hopeful that we might get that concluded by this meeting. It just hasn't happened. But there's nothing really in dispute. It's just dotting the I's and crossing the T's and getting it done. Jackie, you've heard my discussion on this and seen my numbers. Is there anything there that you might want to say about the process?
No, I think, you know, these kinds of things always seem to take longer than you think they should. And I don't really know where the holdup is at this point. So I don't think there's any fear that this won't happen. It's just a question of when.
Okay. So, Jim, hopefully by the next time you meet, we can say this is concluded.
Okay.
We'll see.
Any questions for Bart on that item? All right, Bart, number five, investments.
I'm not going to speak much on this. Jarrett, why don't you run through our investments? This is overall, this is not just Lincoln, but as you go through it, point to some of the Lincoln specific funds.
Yeah. Okay. So this is our normal schedule that we give you for detailing the way we carry the cash and equivalents for the GA. This one's going to look a little bit different because of the changes we had to make for Friday and the anticipation of having the large claim volume and claim payments go out. So the first thing is our normal process of keeping $250,000 or no more than $250,000 in cash and about $2 million in money market funds have kind of gone out the window with this because we've had several starts and stops with Friday thinking that we were going to have to pay on this day and then that didn't happen. So we ended up started building up cash in the cash and the money market accounts to account for Friday. So you'll see that reflected starting on page 5-3. We had to liquidate a couple of treasuries and then also take some that matured in February to start building up that cash. And you'll see the Morgan Stanley there at the top. We've completely emptied those accounts out to move that money market fund into cash. We did keep quite a bit of cash in the money market funds at JP Morgan, but that's because we opened up that new Morgan Money account that allows us to keep cash in 100% U.S. Treasury money market funds and then move it as we need on a daily basis into the cash account. So you'll see that those funds there have been moved or higher in the JP Morgan box than they normally are. And then the really big difference is the cash at JP Morgan Bank, the third box there. You'll see in May, the expense fund account and the claims account are both pretty high balance. And that's where we kept, where we exceeded that $250,000 in cash. And like I said, that was due to trying to fund the Friday balances and then moving that cash around, trying to get the least amount of cash on hand at the close of the business day. So it looks a little weird on that. If you go down to the investments, you'll see the Lincoln Memorial there, $27 million in Morgan Stanley and almost $15 million in JP Morgan. That's where most of the Lincoln Memorial funds are. You will see the difference in the overall investments, about $8.2 million increase from April to May And that was due to a Penn Treaty distribution. We had a recovery of $8.2 million at the end of May.
So, Jared, let me point out something.
Go ahead.
The expense fund and the claims fund here in the cash account at JP Morgan, that's about $15.3 million. That was in May.
Yeah.
If you look at this now, June and halfway into July, it's about $1.5 million. There's been over $13 million gone out the door for Friday. And we were still expecting to get an early access distribution of $25 million out of the receiver. It's gotten somewhat hung up on wording. It's gone back and forth a few times between the Department of Insurance and the receiver. And we still don't have it. So we have just this week, we are having to liquidate a treasury early, and we're going to be taking a little loss on that because we need funds. We thought we would have enough coming in for Friday, so we postponed some of our reinvestments, but it just wasn't enough. So hopefully when we get those funds in and we can get the early access distribution monies, we can repay this. But that's part of the cash management here. We can only do so much, and we maybe relied too much on anticipated early access.
Yeah, and I would like to say, to add to that, that I think here pretty soon we're going to be able to get back to our normal routine of trying to not exceed $250,000 in cash once we get a little more regularity out of the Friday payments and the Friday claims.
Yeah.
But because of the way Friday has been set up and the way we're having to deal with those anticipated cash flows, this has now become a daily money cash management task. So that's.
So this is Dean. Do you, at the end of the day, sweep to a money market account?
Dean, we have one account that we have a sweep left still functioning. The problem is with those internal sweeps, we have a maximum that they will allow us to sweep. So that's why we set up that Morgan Money account. There is no maximum on that one. But the issue with that one is you have to make a cash flow decision by 1:30 in the day, or you miss the cutoff for moving monies back and forth.
And so, Jared, that maximum on the sweeps, the daily sweeps, is $10 million, correct?
I believe it is $10 million, yes.
So, Dean, we anticipated we were going to have cash, you know, between $15 and $25 million that we'd be working with and needing quickly on Friday. So we couldn't invest it. We couldn't keep it our normal. That's why we went to this new account structure with JP Morgan Chase. And it's working fine. It's a little more work for Jarrett because he has to every day manage money. But if we had that early access distribution in hand, it'd be really important because we'd have an extra $20+ million sitting here. So a little different mechanism than automatic sweep.
And the main issue on this, Dean, about keeping cash, you know, we'll get notification that we have let's say a $2 million claim batch that's ready to be paid. So we'll fund our account $2 million. It may be 3 days later before they actually withdraw the money. We just don't know exactly when they're going to pull the money out. So I can't let it sit in a money market account and just hope to time it right. I have to let it sit in that claims account so they can withdraw the money whenever they get around to it.
And the entity we're working at, Dean, they do use a 3-day hold that we have to put monies in there and leave it for 3 days because of NACHA requirements. Once we fund it for 3 days, we can always pull the money back. And they don't want the exposure to start the processing and distribution of EOPs, EOBs, and they have 4 different ways that they fund benefit payments out to providers. They want to start that process, have electronic funds being dispersed, and they go to pull the money out, and we've moved it. So they wait until after the 3-day period to start that. So the complexities here of managing the money have significantly changed because of this new health insurance insolvency.
But we will eventually get back.
Yep. Jarrett, say something about the investment yields. I know Ted's always interested in seeing where those are going.
Yeah, so this is a list here of all of our current investments. As you can see, roughly $37 million will be maturing on September 30th. Although Bart did mention we've already had to sell one early, and that was from this $37 million here. Yeah, we're 1.98% on our yield. The best explanation I have on that is because about half of this is in a very low yield treasury. I think I looked up the coupon rate on that particular, the 23.9 million treasury, the first one there, the coupon rate on that is just a little over 1%. But that's the treasury that was available at the time that we needed to buy one for the maturity date that we needed and still had a positive yield. That's why our yield on this whole portfolio is so low compared to the treasury yields that you see there at the top.
Okay. Other questions on the investments?
Do you have any idea when the early access will be available, Bart?
Well, we've had some discussion with the special deputy receiver just this week on Monday, and there was a couple of questions up at length that were posed by TDI. And so they worked over the weekend and did some language revisions and have sent that back. Brian, might you have some ideas of where this might be at the department?
I don't know if Brian's on.
He's not on yet.
Oh, he's not on yet. I'm sorry. I thought he had joined. Okay. Well, I know Brian Rewe had been involved with that and had been going back and forth. We've been told several times any day now. And Jackie finished the work and drafting on that months ago.
Keep in mind, too, that what has to happen is it gets filed with the court. And then there's we could probably, you know, waive the total number of days that it needs to be on file before the judge can sign it. But usually, you know, even with the expedited process there, it's usually at least 5 days and, you know, maybe 10 days. We do have the first status conference for Friday will be August 4th. And so I am hoping that provides an incentive to get this on file before then and hopefully signed before then. But it just hasn't quite happened yet.
And those early access funds, some of that will go back to pay the Lincoln Memorial funds back for what's been borrowed from there. And then the rest of it will go into our Morgan Money account to be used to pay claims and expenses for Friday.
And when we liquidate this maturity, any loss we have will be submitted as an expense claim against the Friday estate. We're not going to eat that loss.
And just to let you know, the current yield on our JP Morgan Money account is 5.03%. So we'll actually get a better yield out of that Morgan Money account than we would probably getting into a short-term treasury.
Jared, on that note, these two treasuries that are maturing in September, are you going to roll them into treasuries? And what's your term going to be on those, do you suspect?
Well, that kind of depends on what the committee decides to do with the Lincoln Memorial funds. But yes, those will probably go into another treasury, and we will take into consideration what's the best yield on those. We'll definitely want to get more than our money market fund.
Yeah. And Ted, we've taken to heart. There's no need to go down to the end of the laddering schedule. If we can get a better rate at 90 days or 180 days, then that's what we ought to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
I think Brian just joined, Bart.
Okay. Welcome, Mr. Rewe. Your name came up. Were your ears burning?
No, but I'm glad I was a topic of discussion, I guess. Well,
we were going through investments, and I was just telling the committee and some of our Friday health insurance company needs, and without early access funds, we were anticipating, we had to liquidate a maturity this week, suffered a little loss on it. And the question came from the committee is, when might we see that early access? And I said, it's between the SDR and TDI, so I was going to have to ask Brian if he knows where that might be. So what can you share with us?
It's at the SDR, has been at the SDR. We have a call later this afternoon with the SDR. I can check on status for you, and I can let Bart know, or Bart and Jackie know.
Thank you. It would be helpful. It's just we're burning through cash for that insolvency very, very quickly.
And that's all I have on Section 5, unless there are any other questions.
Anything else for Jared or Bart? All right. Item 6, Bart, assessments, refunds.
This is an interesting, I call it a place marker, because we need to have a discussion in executive session. We did not do a Class A assessment in 2022. We did not do a Class A assessment in 2023 based on the committee's recommendation that was adopted by the board. The 2022 administrative expenses and 2023 administrative expenses have been paid from the Lincoln Memorial Funds. We have also paid for those illiquid estates we mentioned earlier, any loans that we had done internally or obligation payments have been paid from Lincoln Memorial Funds. So currently, we do not have any Class A administrative expense needs. So there's nothing to assess there. And the same on Class B. But that could easily change as we move forward, because your authority and your recommendation to the board only covered 2023. And we have obligations that will be continuing for current insolvencies throughout 2023 and into 2024. So right now, we're not recommending any assessments, but that's going to have to be pended until we have our executive session discussion about the use of the remaining Lincoln Memorial Funds.
All right. Any questions for Bart before we roll into executive session? All right. Hearing none, I guess, Bart, we can move right in after the language and the tape switch.
Yes.
All right. And Brian, sorry you joined just before we go into executive session, but maybe you can hop on after. The time is 2:07 Central Time on July 18, 2023, and I am recessing the regular session of the Assessment Investment Committee of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association. Order for the committee to meet in executive session pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act. The time is 2:30 Central on July 18, 2023. The executive session of the Assessment Investment Committee meeting has concluded, and I am reconvening regular session of the Assessment Investment Committee pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act. So I guess we're on item number 7.
8, I think.
It's 8, actually.
Oh, is it 8? I'm sorry. 8. I stand corrected. All right. We did meet an executive session. Ted or Dean, do we have any motions?
Sure. This is Ted. I'm happy to move the resolution as presented on the screen for all to see, a continuation and modification of determinations previously made. I defer those for discussion, but move passage. Submission to the board.
Yeah, and I'll second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 All right. Any opposed? Resolution passes. All right. And I think that brings us to item 9 now, Bart.
And all committees of the board of directors, all the standing committees are required to annually review their charter to see if there is anything in their activities that is not properly captured, should be amended or expanded. So this is your annual review of the Assessment Investment Committee charter. As always, staff looks at this in advance. We've been through it. We did not identify anything that would warrant a revision.
And I'm not aware of anything either, Ted or Dean. Anything on your end?
I have nothing.
Yeah, it's good with me.
All right. And brings us to item 10, Bart, the calendar of activities.
And the most important thing here is we've scheduled tentatively your next meeting to be held on Tuesday, January 16th. That's 1 week before the January 2024 quarterly board of directors meeting. I will tell you that the other committee that normally meets on the same day that you do prior to the meetings in January and July is the personnel committee. The personnel committee had a conflict and has moved their meeting to 1 week earlier. They're going to meet on January 9th, but that has no impact on you. So Tuesday, January 16th, 2024 is your targeted date. If you have any conflicts, I'd love to hear them now.
I don't have any conflicts on the 16th, and I'm fine on the 9th, too, if you'd prefer to do them the same day, Bart. I don't know what Ted and Dean have on their calendars.
It's Ted. I'm open both days.
Either day works for me.
I'm sorry. What was that, Dean?
Yeah, either day works for me, too.
Right. Bart, do you have a preference? Seems like the committee's flexible.
Why don't we go ahead and do the 9th? That gives us a little more breathing room between the committee meetings and the board meeting, just in case. That should be fine. So we'll make that the 9th as well.
Okay. All right. Anything else we need to do before we adjourn, Bart?
I have nothing else. Topping, Jarrett, Jackie?
Nope. Hearing none. All right. The time is 2:34 Central. As we know, it's July 18th, 2023, and I am recessing this Assessment Investment Committee meeting of the Texas Board of Directors until January.